Good morning, Pyle. 7 o'clock. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Wednesday. It's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. So if you have something you need to get off your chest, we are here to make that happen. Do you like the new NFL kickoff rule? Do you hate the new NFL kickoff rule? You wish it was the way it used to be. Got some thoughts on that today. Broncos are going to have new unis. I saw where our buddy Cody Rourke, our Broncos insider, Mile High Sports, Locked On Broncos podcast, on X does not want the outline of mountains on the jersey.
Well, because he hates fun? Is that?
I don't know. He's like, basically, dear God, don't put a mountain range on the sleeves or anything like that.
Is he naturally a Broncos fan? I don't remember.
He's originally, I believe, from Oregon.
Okay.
And I don't remember his... I think he grew up a Broncos fan, but I have to ask Cody that for certain. I don't remember exactly. I think he is, but I'm not sure.
I think this is one of those things to where if you're not a natural fan of the team, just sit this one out. Let the fans decide what uniforms could look like.
And supposedly, according to Greg Penner, Broncos CEO and owner, that fans were involved in the process. Coaching staff was involved. Players, certain number of players were involved.
To me, for the Greg Penner side of it,
Now, at the risk of being unpopular, this reporter places the blame for all of this squarely on you.
So
if you don't like them, this is fan input.
You guys wanted these. Yeah. You wanted them.
It's fan input, like the Russell Wilson trade.
Where he did talk about that. Well, it's like, well, Russ was here when we bought the team.
Yep.
It's like, but you guys are also the ones that gave him the extension, though, too.
Yep, we got saddled with Russ.
So, it's like, he was there. And it was kind of, I applauded what they did, trying to improve the team. But it was a little bit of
the Bolin family that did that.
But there was a little bit of, he was here and we already bought the team.
Not surprised.
So, on the kickoff. Do you like it? I like the idea of it. I like how the XFL did it better, but I do like the idea of it in terms of if you're trying to increase kickoff returns, plus coupled with supposedly player safety, which those surveyed in the league and the data also next gen data showing that a significant number of injuries happen on kickoffs. It's high speed. It's collision. You're running down field full speed.
Right.
That's where, I wouldn't say all the injuries happen because that's not true, but a fairly significant number of those of injuries happen on kickoffs.
The return guy's still going to be moving at full speed by the time he gets to somebody.
But the other guys are not, though, and that's...
So half of the collision is not moving at full speed. In theory,
you're not going to solve this completely. You're not going to make it entire.
To have a kickoff, you're not going to eliminate injuries because
you can't make it entirely safe.
We talked about it. I think you were heading over to Mav Day yesterday. Tyler and I, Cake, we were saying that the rate of injuries on return kickoffs slid on the same scale of kickoffs that were returned, the percentage. Like, if you take a look at total injuries, yes, they decreased, but so did returned kickoffs.
Yeah, because most of them were going in the end zone, or touchbacks, and
percentage of injuries on returned kickoffs were the same. It didn't, the overall number decreased, sure, but the ratio didn't.
But what the problem was, though, is that the kickoff became ceremonial, and that's it.
Right.
It's okay. The game started because the ball's in the end zone, and it's a touchback.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they're
the feeling
to have was, it both ways.
And so the feeling was, how can you make it? You're not going to make it totally safe.
No.
But how do you increase returns, and how do you find a way to at least reduce the risk of injury? Not going to eliminate it.
No.
It's impossible. But at least reduce the risk of injury. And the XFL did this. They had good results with it. It does look different because they're only 5 yards apart.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a different look, and only the kicker can move, and the return man or two, up, I think it's up to two, can move.
Right.
That are designated as the return men can move during the kickoff. So it's gonna be weird seeing guys stand there.
Yeah.
Until somebody catches the ball. That's gonna be the odd part.
And if you watch the XFL, it's not gonna be all that strange because you've seen it before.
You've seen it before. It's not entirely unfamiliar.
Adding all the extra crap just so it's not the XFL rule. And that's really all it's for. Strictly so it's not called the XFL kickoff. That makes it worse. Like, you gotta have a landing zone. And you got to do this. And then if it's this brand of touchback, if it's a great value touchback, then it comes out to this yard line. If it's a Kraft name brand touchback, it comes to this yard line. It's stupid. Just if it goes into the end zone, it's a touchback to the 25. But if it doesn't, then you can return it. But move the kickoffs back. The kickers now can reach the end zone from where they're at. If you want to have returns, move the kickoffs back. Make it so where you literally move the goalposts on them. We're tired of them kicking it out of the end zone. Well, then move it back. Make somebody kick it 80 yards to get it into the end zone. Then we'll see what these guys... Then we'll see exactly what Justin Tucker can do.
And I'm fine with that, but that's not what they're going to do, though. I mean, I have no problem. I think that's mm-hmm. a great way to approach it. But they're going to do it this way, which is still
dumb.
Better, though. It's still better than not returning kicks at all, period.
Yeah. But they've made it so more complicated than what it needs to be. If you want to put them 5 yards apart at the 30 and 35 of the return team, great.
So here's
the kickoff.
So here's the XFL rule. And I believe still the rule now for the UFL.
Sure.
Which is this weekend, by the way.
We'll find out this weekend.
It's this weekend, baby.
Yeah.
Football is back. Okay. Something like football.
Football.
The XFL rule. Kicker lines up at his 30. 10 other members on the kickoff team line up at the opponent's 35, 5 yards away from the returning team. The kicker and returner are the only players who can move until the ball is fielded. Touchbacks are placed at the 35. There is no target zone.
Exactly.
It's just...
And we can't have that in the NFL because it's not their idea.
Which to me it's pretty simple. It's just boom, there
right.
It is. It's out to the 35.
So let's make it way more complicated than it needs to be. Strictly so we don't have to look like we're using someone else's idea.
That seems to be We're going to use their idea, but we've got to tweak it a little bit.
I'm waiting for Roger Goodell with a straight face to say, well, you know, we really came up with this idea on our own.
Well, and part of this that kills me is the NFL had a relationship with the XFL in terms of rule development, things like that. It use it as kind of a lab. Mm-hmm. So you had this relationship with them. So what's the big deal about just going, we're just going to use that. That's how they did it. It's how we're going to do it. What's the big deal about that? You had the relationship already. That was part of what they were doing.
Yeah.
In your relationship was trying some of these rules out and seeing how it looked. So why not just do it the way they did it?
Mm-hmm. The NFL looks just childish about this whole thing.
And so if you got some thoughts on it, I'm fine with it. I think it makes sense in terms of if you're trying to keep... One of the more exciting plays in football still, or revive it, if you will, in the NFL, but it's just to revive it, it's to resuscitate it because it's gone. Mm-hmm. It's been gone. Then I like the idea of making it safer, never going to make it entirely safe, making it safer, but also getting that aspect back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's special teams coaches that hate it. Not everybody was in favor of doing this.
Well, they could just start the game, start every drive at your own 25 and not have to worry about special teams coaches.
Well, he's still got field goal kicking and punting, and it's not like you're going to do away with everything.
We're getting our way there because apparently those are the only plays injuries happen on. If you talk to the NFL.
Well, it's not. It's like, it's, oh, no, okay,
hey,
that's over.
You know, four-day work week, saying. 4 days recovery is fine as long as there's money to be made.
No, nope.
But we don't. Yeah. We can't have these injuries on the kickoff. Let's play on Christmas because it's a Wednesday, but player safety.
Okay. Drew snarking it up here.
Drew is a moving target.
There's some grain of truth to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to take each thing as an individual case. I can see where you can make it across the board, the totality of what they've done or not done. Right? Mm-hmm. But I'm just looking at this. And so they say it's going to improve the projected increase is between 50 and 60% of kickoffs will be returned. That would add about 1,000 kickoff returns to last season. So originally it was supposed to be like 80 to 90%. And the committee made a tweak to the original proposal, moving the touchback spot from the 35 to 30. It was to help the proposal get enough support to pass. That was a big apparently sticking point. And then it reduced the incentive to avoid a touchback, but would still represent a big jump in the return rate. Feeling is that, well, the 5 yards make a big difference. Some coaches want to avoid returns without a resulting spot as severe as the 35-yard line, though. A team might not feel good about their ability to cover kicks that week. Or the team feels like they're kicking to a great returner, a kick return team that has an incredible drive start and might just want to have a touchback. Can't have it always, guys. Can't. If you want the kickoff return back and you want safety involved here, if you don't care about safety, then just do it the way it's always been done.
Right.
Just do it. Go back to the original way you did it if you're not worried about player safety.
And like, us this week, our return guys might not cover as well.
Well, that's on you,
darn.
Isn't it? Chucky Darn, special teams coach, and whatever team. Maybe you guys need to be better at that. Maybe you need to work on that.
Are we going to make rules now that the Browns can finish their season in February and March because sure. That's when their quarterback's healthy?
Yeah, that's when their starters are healthy.
We're playing our best football, so let's go replay those games. Like, sometimes you're not as good as the other team, and you can't legislate that. Sometimes that's just better.
When I read that, I'm just like, it's stupid. Well, yeah, we're going to have a week where we just feel like our guys aren't covering kicks well. They've got a really good guy. They got a great return guy. So what are we supposed to do about that? I don't know. Be better?
You know what that's called? Strategy. Figure it out. Like, the whole thing, like, there's parts of me about this that's like, am I really going to miss the kickoff if they just Old Yeller it?
And I've thought that, too, to be quite honest. Like you said, just start the 25. Just start the game there.
What do you take away the chance of a surprise onside kick? Well, don't fall behind then. You have 3.5 quarters to stay in the game or get the lead or put it out of reach. Don't fall behind.
Didn't the Alliance American Football not have a kickoff?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to go look that up. I got to do a little quick research. Yeah. I think they might not have had a kickoff. And just the ball was like the 25 or the 30. Or I can't remember exactly. I think that seems to be rattling around in my brain.
Was that pre-COVID?
Yes, it would have been pre-COVID. Because COVID and their own stupidity killed that league.
Gotcha.
But I think they didn't have a kickoff. I think you just got the ball at 25.
There are no kickoffs.
Yeah.
Teams simply begin at
ding,
the 25.
Ding, 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 yes.
But that's what killed that league.
Not having kickoffs. I'm gonna be honest, I'm with you on that. I heard somebody yesterday. To me, it's not like I'm going, oh God, I pine for a kickoff return. Okay, if you want it in the game, this is a good way to go about doing it and also addressing player safety.
I heard somebody yesterday. They were saying, well, now the Dolphins are just going to put Tyreek Hill back there. He slithers through one hole and he's gone. I'm like, they're not going to risk that investment on a kickoff?
No.
Are you stupid? Like, They're paying this guy $20 million a year. Let's put him back on kickoffs because he might once a month score a touchdown.
They're playing fast guys. Plenty of fast return guys out there. Guys that are expendable.
John Ross. What's he doing right now? Nothing.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Kickoff return guy. He's fast. Let him do it.
It's like they're trying, like you said, they're trying to have it all ways, and it's just not going to happen.
But this is so NFL, isn't it, though?
It is.
In so many ways. Of the never being certain about how to, like the hip drop tackle, which, okay, now got a better sense of what they're looking for and what they're going to call. Mm-hmm. But like catch, no catch. How long do we debate catch, no catch? Forever.
We still debate
catch, no catch.
Survive the ground.
Not as bad as it was. Like the famous Dez Bryant catch against the Packers. Mm-hmm.
Calvin Johnson.
And, you know, some of those moments mm-hmm. where it's not as bad as it was.
That's true.
But still, there's those moments where, is that really a catch? Not sure that was really a catch.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a surefire catch.
Or that sure looked like a catch, incomplete. Well, how do you rule that?
I don't understand.
Yeah, so got some thoughts on that today. Broncos uniforms. Are you going to lose your mind if it has a mountain range on the sleeve? I'm not. I'm just not. Are you going to lose your mind if they go with the snow cap helmets and they're no longer blue? Are you going to lose your mind over that? I like those helmets.
No, I'm going to love it.
I'd be great. I like those.
I'm not going to cheer for the team, but I will love the look.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they have. Part of me is a little anxious because, mm-hmm. you know,
the worst thing that happened
because Greg Penner seemed like, well, yeah, we're really trying to kind of, I'm paraphrasing here, infuse some Colorado into the uniforms. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, hope it's not going to look like the license plate jerseys, the City Connect. That,
a little pot leaf, Coors Light can, somebody hiking.
And the
cyclist with a bitter beer face about how you're
Thunder
driving.
Thunder in the D is going to look like it's drawn by Parker and Stone from South Park.
Yeah.
It'll be a
it's gonna
South
have the
Park
separated
looking
head
horse.
Like he's Canadian. Yep.
Hey, buddy. When he said that, I'm going, I'm a little anxious now.
Like, the worst thing that could have ever happened with the current uniforms is winning in them. Because now you got to hang on to them for a while.
I know, because they're
like, oh, we never won a Super Bowl in the orange. Then we turned to the blue and the cyber horse, and we won Super Bowls, and now we're stuck with them.
But suppose the logo's staying the same. The logo's not going to change.
Oh, that's a big L.
That's what I've heard.
That's a big L, I think.
That's one of the theories is that the logo's going to stay the same. They should go back to the D. I don't think that logo's going to look as good on those white helmets as the D does.
Cyber horse?
No. That's what I've heard. I've seen that there's speculation that that's the case. I don't know.
Excitement waning.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I don't. We're going to find out probably before the draft on the 25th. All right. So I've got some thoughts on any of those topics. Anything you want to whine about today? And tomorrow we'll do our projections for the Rockies.
Yeah.
We'll pick how they will pick their record. Team MVP. For the season, we'll do that, and then we'll pick our division winners.
Yeah,
postseason, and who wins the World Series? Going to venture guess the Rockies will not be a pick for either one of us in that particular.
Put a future
category.
Bet down on for dollar. I'll end up winning like $200. So,
yeah,
some long odds though.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Palisade baseball coach Nate Porter, Bulldogs and Grand Junction tonight on the team as we start our coverage of the high school baseball season. Time right now for
What's Happening?
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions, IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone systems, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup and disaster recovery. They have you covered all across the Western Slope. Call them at ComWest. You can call their office, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, lead things off with the Colorado Mesa men's basketball team is going to have to replace both Trevor Baskin and head coach Mike DeGeorge next season. DeGeorge is leaving the Mavericks after six seasons and four straight NCAA tournament appearances to take the job at Division I Cal Poly. They went 4-28 this last season, lost their last 20 games after ending 10 straight losing seasons at Rhodes College in Tennessee. DeGeorge became the first coach in CMU history to secure 5 straight 20-win seasons. The now former head coach says the opportunity is both life-changing and hard to pass up.
One of the things I told them was I signed a 5-year contract for amount of money that I would need to work at in D2 until my late 60s to make that same amount. So, you know, it is life-changing. It's an incredible opportunity, you know, to have the chance to turn around programs at all three levels.
DeGeorge says current Mavs assistants Cal Boucher and B.J. Andrews will join him at Cal Poly. The Mavs Trevor Baskin will add one more trophy to the shelf before heading off to a new adventure. He earned a pair of All-America honors as one of 16 players named to the National Association of Basketball Coaches All-America team and earned third-team All-America honors from the D2 Conference Commissioners Association. He also picked up the College Sports Communicators Academic All-District Honor alongside teammates Isaac Jessup, Reese Johnson, and Mac Reneker, with Baskin's name being added to the national ballot for the CSC's Academic All-America team. As reported, the Baskin's looking to hit the transfer portal and play at the Division I level. The Avalanche's 9-game winning streak came to an end Tuesday night in a tough 2-1 home loss to Montreal. Colorado star Nathan MacKinnon scored the lone Avs goal to extend his home point streak to 35 straight games, the second longest in NHL history. Colorado's goalie, Eustace Annan, stopped 24 of 26 shots, and winger Andrew Cogliano says they just didn't play well enough in front of him.
Yeah, they played a pretty hard game, but, you know, it was our didn't execute with the puck very well, and defensively just not good enough. You know, we gave up way too many opportunities. Eustace had a really good game, and, you know, at the end of the day, that defensively, if we play like that, it's not going to cut it.
Colorado signed the 24-year-old Annan to a 2-year deal on Tuesday. The Avs are 2 points behind Dallas for the Central Division lead. Avs radio voice Connor McGahee will join us at 8:40 this morning. Broncos will have a different look on the field in 2024. The announcement of new uniforms at the NFL annual meetings in Orlando. Denver owner and CEO Greg Penner was asked about the team's new unis.
Really excited. It's time for a change, and we think we'll have something that honors Broncos country, and our fans will be pleased with elements of Colorado.
The new uniforms are expected to be unveiled before the April 25th draft. At the meetings, the league approved a new kickoff rule that will line up the kickoff and return teams just 5 yards apart. The rule's intended to create more kickoff returns and reduce high-speed collisions to improve player safety. The Grand Junction Blackout Club basketball program broke ground Tuesday in a new field house. The facility will be located at 23.5 and G Road near Community Hospital. The organization's raised about $3.45 million to build the new field house, but still needs to raise about $2.5 million more. Blackout board member Brandon Tao says the facility will be for more than just basketball.
And what it's going to look like, we're going to have 4 courts. We're going to try to run every sport that we can in there, not just basketball. That's one of our visions. One of the board, you know, all the board members had a vision of, we want to do everything in there, take care of volleyball. You know, have the nets in there, pickleball, do some baseball training in there, even soccer training.
The Blackout organization hopes to have the field house open in about a year. The Grand Junction I baseball team improved to 5-3 after picking up a 14-7 win over Eagle Valley Tuesday. The Tigers' Andrew Henderson had a day, went 4-for-5 with a home run, a double, and 6 RBIs, and 4 runs scored. Zyler Fozzie also drove in 4 runs in the win. Cody Knott pitched 4 1/3 innings of relief to get the win. Grand Junction faces Palisade tonight on the team with pregame at 5:45. Yolanda Almanza's 2 goals led the Montrose girls soccer team to a 3-1 win over Grand Junction Tuesday at Montrose. Red Hawks' Ellie Duncan added the other goal as Montrose moves to 5-0-1 and 1-0-1 in the Southwestern League. The Tigers' Sedona Zarnecki scored Grand Junction's goal as they slipped to 1-2-1. And the Grand Junction and Fruita Monument boys lacrosse teams both suffered losses Tuesday. The Tigers fell to Telluride 18-6 at Canyonview as they fall to 2-3 overall, 2-1 in the Mountain League. The Miners are 4-0 in league play. The Wildcats lost to Boulder 11-6 at Canyonview. Fruita drops to 1-2 on the season. And that's
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal. Helping your business grow. They can help you with your business phone system, surveillance, and IT. Call them today at ComWest, 970-242-8142. Coming up next, Palisade Bulldogs baseball coach Nate Porter on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warp twisted individuals. Yes.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Palisade Bulldog sports on The Jim Davis Show.
And Palisade Bulldogs baseball coach Nate Porter, brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Nate Porter joins us. Good morning, Nate. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Good morning.
Always great to talk with you. Got a big one with Grand Junction tonight. We'll dive into the Tigers in a moment, but let's go back to Holy Family this last weekend. You went over there to play a couple of games against them, and they're off to a really good start. They've won five games to start out the season. They got the win in the first game against you. The second game got called due to darkness, but kind of take me through what you saw from your team playing a really good baseball team in Holy Family.
Yeah, they are. They're a good team. They've got they had a pretty good pitcher both games. But, you know, like every time you lose, you look at your reasons why you lost, and we just didn't play well in a few areas, not a bunch of areas, but just defensively we played pretty good. Our pitching did pretty good, but as far as throwing the ball over the plate, but we had a few chinks in our armor this last weekend that caused several runs to come across the plate for them, and we worked on those really hard this week. Every day, Monday, Tuesday, we've worked on them really hard this week so far, and so that's what early season games are about, is trying to find out where you're lacking and where you can get better. But they Holy Family's a good ball club, but we should have competed a lot better. The kids know it, so that's the good thing about the loss, is they know that we're right there with that group of players and teams over there in the Denver area.
Yeah, Brady Hudson for them pitched really well, went the seven innings, gave up the three runs on a couple of hits. He had eight strikeouts, but Easton Embry for you, he had seven strikeouts, but unfortunately for Easton, gave up three earned runs, and that's kind of speaking, going back to what you're talking about, Nate, about your ball club cleaning up some things, because Easton only gave up three earned runs, though five runs he ended up coming in to score against him when he was out there on the bump for you.
Yeah, just again, I mean, he threw pretty well. I think he said three walks. That's what I remember, right? He had three walks and eight Ks, and so he threw the ball better than he did the first time as far as getting ahead of hitters. But we had a few just really silly things we've worked on a lot. You know, on a squeeze bunt, defensive squeeze bunt, we didn't get rid of the ball from home to third, and the kid was safe at third, and kid ended up going from first to second, so we gave up an out there. We had a couple rundown opportunities to steal some outs, and we didn't execute, and so we spent about 45 minutes on just rundowns yesterday, and that was their conditioning, was rundowns.
So two birds, one stone with that, doing that, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. Nate Porter, Palisade Bulldogs baseball coach with us in that second game, which ended due to darkness, got to the eighth inning. You guys were tied up with them 7-7. Have to like what you saw from your team in that second game, the way you came out offensively. Kean Kinslow with a couple of hits in that game, and Will Seriani, a pretty good game as well with a couple of RBIs.
Yeah, those guys, you know, they came back. That's what excited me the most, is that they didn't get down. As far as, you know, they're down four runs in the seventh, and I knew it was going to be an issue with darkness when we started the seventh, but you don't complain when you're down. You want to get as many opportunities as possible. So, Soren Ashcraft started off the inning. He was pinch hitting we started a freshman at catcher the second game, Wyatt Fleming, who caught really well, and I pinch hit for him and put a senior in to pinch hit for him, and he walks. And started off the inning, and then, you know, Kean comes up, and Hunter Howard gets on a walk, and Kean doubles one in right center. I mean, just everything, they just kept fighting, and they refused to lose. And so Asher Morby moves the guy over, Kean Kinslow moves him over on a ground ball, and Kean scores on a pass ball to tie the game, and then the game ended after that with the third out. But, you know, just the execution for Asher to get that ball, just a simple ground ball to second base, moves the guy from second to third, fits him in scoring position.
Palisade Bulldogs head coach Nate Porter joining us on the Jim Davis Show. I want to talk about a couple of your sophomores that you have in that offensive lineup. You mentioned them there in the tie against Holy Family. You have Kean Kinslow. He's hitting over .500 for you. Hunter Howard is at .389. Had to replace a lot of seniors last two or three years, so it gives room for some of these kids to come up and, you know, really gives them a chance to take advantage of their opportunities, because they're going to get plenty. Talk about how those two guys leading your offense have played for you so far this early spring.
Well, Kean's swinging the bat, obviously, with his batting average and his RBIs, and he's on base percentage. He's hitting the ball really well. He's become a leader on the team as a sophomore, which has been great to see. He's got a big presence there because of his size, obviously, but he also practices hard, plays hard. And I'm really happy with what he's been doing. And I believe he's going to continue that just because that's his nature. It seems like since I've known him, he's just a grinder and he just keeps working and getting better. And he has fun playing the game, which is good to see. He doesn't put so much pressure on himself. He's enjoying it this year. Last year he didn't enjoy it because he put so much pressure on himself, but this year he's having fun. And, you know, Hunter's kind of one of those players that doesn't come around a whole lot. He's a very high IQ, good athlete. You know, obviously on the basketball court he's the same, but he's a hard playing, smart baseball player. And one thing I've been really talking to him about is taking more of a leadership role vocally, because he does have that IQ, and that's what kids around him need, is him to take charge. Of, you know, being our shortstop, he's the, kind of the captain of the infield there, him and the catcher. So two sophomores. So yeah, Hunter and Kian have been been fun to coach, and they're doing a good job, and they've got room to grow, but they're growing.
Nate Porter, coach of the Palisade Bulldogs baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. So now you kind of dive into your preview of next year when you join the Southwestern League, Nate, with Grand Junction tonight. Andrew Henderson, huge game yesterday in the Tigers' win over Eagle Valley. He's off to a great start. He's already picked up 12 hits, 9 RBIs. He's hitting .522. Sean Witt's off to a great start, hitting .474 with the 4 doubles to lead the Tigers. Brett Wojtek's hitting .400. Zyler Fozzie had a big game yesterday in the leadoff role. I believe he knocked in 4 runs for Grand Junction. He's hitting .368. Cy's got a good lineup right now. Those bats are clicking for the Tigers.
No, there's no doubt. They've got a good lineup. They've got good players over there. Andrew's hitting the heck out of the ball. I mean, it just shows. And when I've seen him, the couple games I've went and watched him, I mean, he just has a good approach to the plate, and he's barreling balls up. And Sean Witt was the same way. And Wojtek, I think one of the two games I went to, he went 4-for-4. So Brett's hitting the ball really well. So yeah, they're definitely a team that needs to be looked at as a contender, because they've got good players, and they seem to play hard, and they seem to have fun when they play. So we're looking forward to the game, obviously, and I would expect they're looking forward to it as well, because it is a preview of hopefully a really good, healthy sportsmanship rivalry that we have in the Valley for years to come.
Talking with Nate Porter, head coach of the Palisade baseball team, and next year and the year after that for the Chassa cycle, which you'll be in the league. It's a nice preview. Also, you got Junction, you have Fruita coming up. I think you play Montrose as well. These are teams that are also a class above you on the state level that kind of prepare you for, you know, early to late May when you guys are going to be hopefully deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, that was my biggest push for getting out of the league we're in currently, is that there's a couple of good teams and players in the Western Slope League, but in general, you know, I think Palisades established itself as a team that's going to compete every year for a league title and a state run, a playoff run. So my goal was to get into the Southwest League, where we could get, you know, we could face the Weavers, we can face the Wojteks and the Hendersons and the Tituses from Montrose, you know, that we can do that more than just once a year, and then get surprised in playoffs. So it was an intentional request for the last 5 years, and finally, you know, some of the coaches acquiesced to it, but they agreed to it. So we're excited about being in there next year. Obviously, this year is the important one to us, but we're always looking at future as well.
Of course, live that game tonight. Palisade takes on Grand Junction on the Team Sports Network pregame at 5:45. For that one, brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm. Hey, Nate, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Good luck tonight against the Tigers.
Thank you, Jim. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. Nate Porter, Palisade Bulldogs baseball coach. All right, 7:37. You'll hear from Tigers coach Cy Espinoza coming up in just a moment. It's time right now for Soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, Nate's got a little sparky of his own on the Palisade baseball team, and he's got to straddle that line between coach and the day job and dad, right, which you never take a day off. Eric Karros is on the television broadcast for the Dodgers, and last night he tried to straddle the line between day job and dad, and really, really strayed way towards the dad side.
A 1-2, strike three. Exhale, EK. JK's got you.
Get up. I got to give him a little love here. Gonna do it.
Jared Karros has got another one. Two innings in the books.
Let me get up.
Four strikeouts. Come on, Dad.
Woo! Woo! Eric Karros just slightly cheering on his son a little bit in the box last night. Four Ks so, against the Angels.
It's spring training. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
It's a practice game. It's a lot of fun.
Good for him. Enjoy. Enjoy Eric Karros. All right, 7:38. And coming up next, Grand Junction Tigers baseball coach Cy Espinoza joins us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
The Team. Talking Grand Junction Tigers sports on the Jim Davis Show.
Tigers baseball coach Cy Espinoza brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. His team is 5-3, coming off the win against Eagle Valley. They have Palisade tonight. Cy Espinoza joins us. Good morning, Cy. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on.
I think Andrew Henderson just came up with another hit for you. I mean, that guy just, he was swinging it again yesterday. 4-for-5, home run, a double, 6 RBIs. He scored 4 runs in your 14-7 win over Eagle Valley. Andrew Henderson's having, had a day yesterday, young man, but he also is having a great start to the season.
He sure is. He's seeing the ball well, and he's putting good swings on it. So, yeah, we're definitely proud of him and love having him in our 4 spot.
Well, you also have to be thrilled with what you saw from Zyler Fozzie yesterday, 2-for-4. He drove in 4 runs, and that was from the leadoff spot. So phenomenal production from your leadoff guy.
Absolutely, and he had a sack bump for us, too, kind of get things going. So that was huge.
Grand Junction Tigers coach Cy Espinoza with us today. Tigers 5-3 after the win over Eagle Valley. And just when you look at your team right now, Cy hitting .320, and as we mentioned, Andrew Henderson off to that sensational start with a .522 batting average. But Sean Witt has been really hot starting out of the gate. He's played in all 7 games, hitting .474 for you. He's got 4 doubles right now to lead your baseball team. Sean Witt's put together a really nice start for your club.
Yeah, he has, and you know, he anchors our middle infield, and he's a great leader, and he's off to a great start for us.
When you look at where you're at right now, 5-3 record, and you get Palisade tonight. We'll talk more about the Bulldogs in a moment. You know, offensively, things have gone well. What are some areas you still feel like there's still room for improvement as you get ready to open up Southwestern League play?
You know, just getting the 1 through 9 going and hitting all cylinders at the same time. I think this lineup will be pretty tough once we get that going, and then cutting down on strikeouts, really putting balls in play. Just too many strikeouts. Just
Cy Espinoza, head coach of the Grand Junction Tigers, joining us. We mentioned Zyler Fozzie hitting .368 on the season. If I remember in years past, I can't remember if he's a junior or a sophomore, but you used to DH for him, play him in the field, had a good glove, but now his bat's kind of started to come around. Talk about his development.
You know, we knew he was a great player. He was a freshman last year, so a sophomore this year. And really, he probably, you know, 5 games in, he earned that spot, and we quit DH-ing for him. He was in our 9-hole last year and has moved to our leadoff spot and gives us a spark and gives us quality at-bats.
Grand Junction Tigers baseball coach Cy Espinoza with us today on the Team Sports Network. Flip it over to the bump for you, Cy, where Cody Knott came in to relieve Steve Lyman yesterday. Cody's had a great start to the season. He had a couple strikeouts, gave up 2 hits, 4 1/3 innings, came on to get the win yesterday. Kind of take us through what you've seen from Cody Knott. So, you know, from gets a chance to start occasionally, but yesterday came out of the bullpen and was really effective for you.
He was. You know, we know what we get with Cody. He's going to be around the zone, and he's going to give us a chance. And that's what he did yesterday. You know, he came in, I think it was 7-1, and he was able to keep us right there and give us a chance and give our hitters a chance to get a couple times through the order and really get to their pitching.
Tonight it's Palisade. They'll be a member of the Southwestern League next year. So a little preview for you and your Tiger baseball team with Palisade as a non-conference opponent this year. But as I mentioned, a member of the league next year. And it's a Palisade team that's had deep state tournament runs, a team that with Kean Kinslow has one of the hotter hitters like Andrew Henderson for you here on the Western Slope. It's a good lineup. And they just came off playing a really good team in Holy Family.
Yeah, we know Nate does a great job preparing his team, and we know we're going to have a tough battle tonight. And yeah, their hitters are off to a great start, and they're going to be tough outs tonight.
Have you had a chance to scout them much? What's been the takeaway when you've had a chance to maybe watch the Bulldogs?
You know, they do everything well. You know, they put balls in play. They're not afraid to use the small game, you know, bunts and all that, hit and run and all that stuff, and they've been able to execute really well this year.
All right, so I'll have that game tonight, pregame at 5:45 from Saplesio as Grand Junction takes on Palisade in high school baseball, brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm. Hey, Cy, appreciate the time as always. Good luck tonight against Palisade.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks, Jim.
All right, take care. Cy Espinoza, coach of the Grand Junction Tigers baseball team. All right, took them to the postseason last year. Mm-hmm. That one-run loss in district play to Pueblo County last year that kept them from moving on. It was like a 9-8 game last year.
It was really close. They were down early. They came back in that game, almost got all the way back.
All right, so it's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. You can text or call us, 970-242-1340. Thoughts about the Broncos uniform change? How do you feel about it? Do you, what's your biggest concern? Cody Rourke, our friend from Mile High Sports, Locked On Broncos podcast, doesn't want to see a mountain range on the sleeve. Greg Penner did mention that mm-hmm. what's going to, not that specifically, that particular design element, but that it's going to definitely have a Colorado Rocky Mountain
Nukes
feel to
of
it.
Colorado or whatever he said.
Well, what did he say specifically?
What did he say exactly?
Let's bring that back. Here's Greg Penner talking about what the Broncos uniforms might potentially look like.
Really excited. It's time for a change, and we think we'll have something that honors Broncos country, and our fans will be pleased with elements of Colorado.
Elements of Colorado.
Elements. That's right.
Elements
Not
of
nukes.
Colorado. Yeah, close enough.
Close enough.
Hmm.
I don't.
What are
elements of Colorado?
Yeah. What to me it means because you can't make it too busy.
Right.
A mountain range?
You're gonna have the state flag of California on there? That's a Colorado staple now, is all the California license plates. Texas. Places other people don't want to be anymore, they move here.
Do you like the black license plates,
no.
by the way? I think on a black car, they look cool.
It's clean.
Because it's clean. I think on most other cars, I get the original Colorado plates were black. Because
mm-hmm.
we had some in my brother's garage from like the 30s or 40s, and they were black.
I don't.
Otherwise, the mountain range to me is what I think of the mountains.
Yeah.
When I think of the Colorado license plate.
I'm not a fan because Utah has just straight black plates now too.
Like, yeah.
All right. Well, if you have the correct license plate frame, you have no idea where they're from, which is fine. It doesn't really matter, but still it's like, pass.
I'm saying on a black car, they look cool. It's a good look. It's a clean look. But on a lot of other cars, like, ooh.
Yeah.
It just
pass.
Doesn't look great. So back to the Broncos uniforms.
Yes.
Though. I hope it's going to have the old school D on the helmet. I really, really hope that'll be the case. Though I've heard some things that they're gonna still have the same logo.
That's
the Cyber Bronco.
That's a loss. That's a loss, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah. Just think that's a loss.
Is there anything that you feel like, and I know you're not a Broncos fan, but you are a fan of uniforms.
I am, yes.
And is there anything that's just no? Just that no.
The wonky curved stripe on the side of the like that comes from the armpits up to the pecs, get rid of that.
Yeah, I agree.
The, oh, when they bend over, it looks like the Nike swoosh. So, get rid of that.
So, Damani Leach, who's the Broncos president, I'm going to go back to some of his comments because he talked a little more in detail about it than
El Presidente.
Yeah, El Presidente did than the Greg Penner. Wanting to evolve and be new and different, but also being respectful of our history and traditions. This is what he said. Boy, it sounded like that was a very prepared statement.
Dang.
Also, understanding our surroundings from a geographic standpoint, there will be nods to that. I think people will be really excited about it.
Like, what, are they going to have Red Rocks in there?
I don't know.
Like, Pikes Peak? Like, what exactly can you do?
So, in this article, I believe this is actually from 9 News? No, 7 News.
Can't
Denver
do
7.
The 5280, because Nuggets already do that.
Yeah. So, Denver 7, they sought out sports uniform and branding expert Todd Radom, who's written a lot of books on the subject. Why didn't we go into that?
Writing books on you? We should have.
Just on uniform, on uniforms we hate. Yeah. We're like,
I'm also an expert on the subject. Like, you can be an expert if you just say you are.
Oh, like the old Damon Wayans bit was a Men on Film. Loved it. Yes. Hated it.
Hated it.
So this is what Todd...
David Allen Greer.
Yeah, and Damon Wayans.
Yep.
So Radom says, I think it would be marketing malpractice if they don't lean heavily into orange. Orange is the color of the moment for the Broncos. Okay.
What does that mean?
He also said that the team retaining its current logo is a sign that they're not going to go full retro. Because I don't know if Leach did say that. They're going to keep... You're going to have the same logo. Okay, so he did... Because I know I read it somewhere. Leach confirmed it would be the same logo. So, boo.
Yeah,
boo,
boo, boo. That's not a good...
Boo. But I can live with it.
Not a good retention.
I can live with it. I was hoping for the old Denver D, the snorting Bronco. But he also goes on to say that there'll be tweaks. He doesn't think it's going to be the big major overhaul that some people think it's going to be. Says it's, they're not throwing all the way back to the old 60s look. I think the numbers, uniform details, the striping, the trim, that's probably going to be pretty contemporary, but built for this moment and beyond. He says it's one of his favorites, but Radom says that orange uniforms can be polarizing, adding that too light of an orange hue can look like the 70s Tampa Bay Bucks creamsicle look. Which, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. Come on, man.
Love the creamsicle. And too dark of an orange hue can appear red. So, for the Broncos, the orange has varied over the years. Kind of a burnt orange. It's, the hue has changed over the years. I liked, was it the striping? I think they used some of it with the snowcap mountain helmets. Kind of the striping more from like the late 60s on the jerseys. Kind of a little bit of a retro look. I like that striping on the sleeves. But maybe this might be where we see the mountain range is on the sleeves.
Ooh. Don't tell Kevin.
I don't know. He's gonna lose his mind.
I don't know about the mountain range on the sleeves. I agree with the numbers and the font. It's kind of a little dated. It screams 90s, and it needs a little bit of an update.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to go full square, huge numbers like the 80s Steelers, but update a little bit.
Exactly. All right, so got some thoughts on that today. What you're hoping to see in the Broncos' new uniforms. Text or call us. 970-242-1340. We'll take a break and come back with hour two on the Team Sports Network.